नावृन्नि की जय, नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय, परम से कहो श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्त वृन्द की जय, श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गौर भगवत स्वयं कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय, वृंदावनम की जय, मथुराम की जय, नवदीपताम की जय, जगदत स्वामी की जय, युवनमय की जय, श्रीमती लासी देवी की जय, समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Okay, we'll read the translation to this Vaishnava poem by Nada Tamadas Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga the great dancer suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. So we'll speak a little bit about him. So Om Gana Timadanda Sha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshun and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Mahat. So Lochan Das Thakur, like Jayadev Goswami, who we discussed yesterday, they were married and they were situated on the topmost platform of devotional service, like you have Ramananda Roy and many devotees who were in the household life. So as we mentioned yesterday, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Vyasi, Sunya Keta Nai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. That if one knows the science of Krishna, he can be considered to be guru. It doesn't matter if one is a sannyasi, one is a brahmachari, householder, whatever, man, woman. So we have to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness. It transcends the bodily distinction. Of course, in the Vedic system, the original Vedic system, there is, let's say, discrimination according to different types of bodies that people may have. But we are followers of both the Pancharatriki system and the Bhagavad Vidhi system, not the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, all of us would be at least plowing the fields or doing some other work. We wouldn't be sitting here giving class. In the Vedic system, then you'd have to be like a ritualistic Brahmin and everything like that. And of course, all the Vedas are meant to know Krishna, and all the Vedas are meant to elevate the soul to the point where he can pursue the higher aspects of Vedic knowledge, which is the Pancharatrika system and ultimately the Bhagavad Vidhi system. Bhagavad Vidhi means preaching, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha, like that, chanting the holy names, Sankirtan. And Pancharatriki Vidhi means the rules and regulations, like rising early in the morning that we do, rising before 4 in the morning, as Prabhupada said, chanting our rounds, or having a specific time, following certain procedures when you're eating, deity worship, all that's Pancharatriki Vidhi, or the path of Pancharatriki. So we're meant to follow both of them. Prabhupada said that it's like two tracks of the train. We're not interested in monorails in the Krishna conscious movement. A monorail means a train that just has one rail. We're interested in bi-rails, two rails. And therefore, we have to be very strict in our Pancharatriki Vidhi and ultimately perform the Bhagavad Vidhi, which is the most important thing, to spread Krishna consciousness and to deepen Krishna consciousness in our own hearts. But without Pancharatriki Vidhi, we become very wild. In other words, unregulated, wild, anything goes. And I saw that even with some prominent personalities in our movement who didn't have good sadhana, but they were really into preaching, and ultimately they left their positions, their preaching positions, and I don't want to use the word blooped, but they blooped, and of course they're coming back to the Krishna consciousness movement. But so it's described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, even though they were on the highest platform of devotional service, Bhagavad Vidhi, of course, that their sadhana process was like lines on a stone. And the lines on the stone you can't erase, generally. So that was the description. So, because they were so strict, you know, you could actually tell the time of the day. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for example, he was one of the first acharyas to carry a watch. Prabhupada always wore a watch. Of course, the deities, you don't have to put a watch on them. There was one time in Vrindavan, the Banka Bihari temple, they gave Krishna a watch, they gave Krishna a mobile phone, and so many other things. But that's really not appropriate. But so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was able to regulate the deity worship in Jagannath Puri to extreme punctuality. So this is very important. And Prabhupada was also like that, you know, extreme punctuality demanding of his devotees, and it's very important for devotees to have watches. Anyway, so let's talk about Lochandas Thakur, who was in the household order of life. Actually got married quite early in life, according to this particular description. And his guru was Narahari Sarakat Thakur, who was one of the great associates of Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lochandas Thakur is most famous for composing the Chaitanya Mangal. Mangal means auspicious, so the auspicious description of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And he based his Chaitanya Mangal upon a Sanskrit book that was composed by Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta, of course, as we all know, was Hanuman and Lord Ram's pastimes. And he accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his early pastimes. Practically he was there all the time. He was older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he composed a book called the Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, which is a Sanskrit book. And so these intimate pastimes that Lochandas Thakur is relating come directly from the intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was young, Murari Gupta. So this is like direct information. And there's also other things, too, that are very interesting that I'm going to talk about in a second. So anyway, so this is the Chaitanya Mangal. It's described that originally the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur was called the Chaitanya Mangal. So it was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Lochandas Thakur, who consulted on the names of these great literatures. The reason it was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat was that it was understood that Vrindavan Das Thakur was the incarnation of Vyasadeva. So that's why they changed it to Bhagavat, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So to have that name, one would have to be considered at least an empowered incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was considered that way. And you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this one interesting verse I can quote. Krishna Lila Bhagavate Kaha Veda Vyas, Chaitanya Lilara Vyasa Vrindavan Das. That in Lord Chaitanya's Lila, Vyas appeared as Vrindavan Das. So that was Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's realization. So many pastimes are related in this Chaitanya Mangal that really don't hear about anywhere else. I mean, amazing pastimes, and we're going to talk about some of these pastimes now. Of course, as in any work, actually the work is divided into four parts. The sutra, Kanda Sutra, means that it ties everything together. A sutra refers to thread, like the verse in Bhagavad Gita, that everything rests upon me. Sutra Mani in Ginar Iba. Everything rests upon me just like pearls rest upon a thread, Krishna is stating. So, of course, Krishna uses this example of sutra or thread to indicate that sometimes the thread can't be seen if the pearls are strung very tightly and nicely. But we understand that the pearls are staying together because of the thread underneath. It's just like we examine this material world, and we can't, at least if we're materialists or if we don't have spiritual vision, we can't really see Krishna. You know, sometimes people say, show me God. But if we examine how nicely things are functioning in the material world, how things are tied together, you know, there's things called universal constants. I'm not going to describe what that is, but those of who are interested in science can study that, can Google it later on if they like. So there are universal constants as far as like atomic structure or gravity and different things like that. And if any of those constants, these are mathematical constants, were different, nothing would function in the whole universe. The more you examine the universe, either on the macrocosmic or microcosmic scale, the more you see there has to be a God. So that's why Sutra Manigana Iva, that the more you see the threads holding together nicely, you know, you bend it, something's underneath. It'd be kind of foolish for someone to say, well, the pearls, they're just hanging there. That would be a foolish statement. But they're not just hanging there, there's something underneath holding them together. Anyway, so apart from that, so the Chaitanya Mangala has four parts. The Sutra Kanda means ties everything together. And the Adi Kanda, the original or initial pastimes, Majjhava Kanda, that means the middle pastimes, like we have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Adi Leela, Majjhava Leela, Ancha Leela. And so here you have the Majjhava Kanda, and then there's the Shesha Kanda. Oops, something so interesting. So I was wondering what everyone's looking at. The road to Vaikuntha. So anyway, so the Sesha... I guess it's more interesting than me. So the Sesha Kanda, that's the end. That's the same thing as the... Sesha means like end, or Ancha is the same thing. So we're going to describe a little bit of what's in there. Of course, the first part, the Sutra Kanda, deals primarily with the what's called Mangalacharna. Any great work that's composed by Vaishnavas has a Mangalacharna. Mangalacharna means the prayers or the chanting of auspiciousness. And the way we bring about auspiciousness is we pay respects to the previous acharyas, because this invokes the humility in the author's consciousness or in the reader's consciousness too. And you see this Mangalacharna also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And any book of any great devotee has a Mangalacharna offering obeisances. And of course we have our Mangalacharna prayers that we chant during the fire sacrifices, beginning with Om Aganat Tumaranda Shah, and then all these prayers to the acharyas, the prayers to the incarnations of Krishna, the prayers to Srimati Radharani, all these different prayers. You have to leave? I'm coming back. Some emergency, I guess. So you have all these prayers that are there. So that's the first part. And then in this first part of the book, there's an interesting introduction. And in this interesting introduction, before he gets into actual Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct pastimes, there's some reference to another Mahabharata. It's Jaimini's Mahabharata. Jaimini's Mahabharata is also referenced in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So it contains more information than Vyasadeva's Mahabharata. There's many different Mahabharatas, of course. So in this Jaimini's Mahabharata, he describes what takes place before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, you know, the events preceding. And one of the events he describes is Narada Muni feeling great pain, because Narada is Paraduka Dukhi. He is so compassionate that he feels the pain of others as his own pain, as more important than his own pain or his own pleasures. So Narada becomes very disturbed to see Kali Yuga. And now it's getting more disturbing every day, especially if you look at the news and see the political things going on in America. So anyway, there's definitely agents of Kali Yuga coming out. So Narada becomes disturbed, and then he thinks, you know, I gotta figure out what to do. So he goes to Dwarka to complain to Krishna, because Krishna is in charge. And Krishna is in the palace of Rukmini Devi at that particular time. And Rukmini Devi actually is crying at this point because she understands that Krishna is going to be taking birth or appearing in the Kali Yuga. And the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Krishna is praising Srimati Radharani to Rukmini. And then he reveals why he's going to do that. And then even Krishna reveals a golden form to Narada Muni at that point. And that golden form is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's called Gauranga. Now, sometimes people talk about, we had a discussion with someone the other day about the Gaura mantra. Because there is some, this is a side note, there's some injunction that the Gaura mantra is just as powerful as the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And so the devotee asked me the question, you know, why don't we chant, you know, the Gaura mantra on the piece? And I said, because that's not the prescribed process given to us by the acharyas. There's many names of Krishna which are very potent, like Govinda, Gopal, you understand, and Ananda, Nandana, and we're not chanting them on the beads, but we understand their potency, Nam Namakari Bahuda, Nidasharva Shaktish, all the names of Krishna are imbued with the full potency of God. But we chant in a way that's been given to us by disciplic succession, our spiritual master, particularly for all of us, that refers to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So we don't make up our own chants. I remember there was one devotee in the early 70s who had one temple president who had the devotees in his temple chanting rounds of the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. They would chant, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nishananda, Sri Dvaita, Gadada, Shivasati, Gaur, Bhakta, Binay, and move to the next speed. And so, you know, the Panchatattva Mantra is a Maha Mantra, but we have to chant and do things in the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us. That is our chastity and faithfulness to Prabhupada. This is an extremely important principle. Anyway, so the Gaura mantra is Gauranga. So sometimes devotees who preach and they actually trick people into chanting Gauranga. That's a bona fide method of preaching. So anyway, so Narada Muni becomes overwhelmed by seeing this golden form. And he goes to visit Naimisharanya. And who's there at Naimisharanya at this particular point? Is Uddhava. And he explains how Uddhava is going to, how the Lord, he explains to Uddhava, how the Lord is going to appear in Kali Yuga in his golden form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, preaching the Sankirtan movement as the Yuga Dharma. So Uddhava is informed about this. And then Narada also, in order just to fill in more details, he relates another discussion that had previously taken place when he had gone to Kailas and visited Lord Shiva. This is actually a very interesting story that's there. So what happened, I mean, just to tell the story in a nutshell, what happened is that Narada had obtained some Mahaprasadam because he had actually served the Supreme Personality of Godhead nicely, and Lakshmi asked, what do you want? And Narada said, I want some Mahaprasadam, and Lakshmi didn't want to give it because she had gotten that instruction from the Lord not to give Mahaprasadam. Then Lakshmi went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, yes, you can give when I'm not looking. And then Narada got this Mahaprasadam, started dancing. Lord Shiva, he wanted some of it too. Lord Shiva got some, you know, a little bit, it was under Narada's fingernail. And then he started dancing in ecstasy. The whole universe was shaking at that particular point. And then Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, just was wondering, you know, what are you dancing for? She stopped him because it was creating havoc in the universe. And he said, I got some Mahaprasadam. She said, did you share anything, share some, or did you save some for me? And he said, no, you're Maya. You know, you're the Krishna's material energy. You don't deserve it. And she got really angry at that point. So Parvati got, started performing austerities. Lord Vishnu appears. And Parvati explains that she wants Mahaprasadam to be distributed to all of her children, which is us. You know, we're actually children in a real sense, you know, because the material bodies, they come from Maya. So these were actually, as much as we're children, actually more, because this is life after life in the material world, we're actually Parvati's children. And we just have a certain mother and father in this lifetime. Of course, ultimately in the spiritual world, I mean, Parvati's not our mother. So anyway, so she gets the benediction. She's going to distribute Mahaprasad to the entire world. And this is very, very nice, because the mother is not going to neglect the children. The father can neglect the children, but the mother doesn't. Mothers are superior. Anyway, so, I mean, I experienced that in my own life. You can tell my mother that. So, anyway, so then Narada went to Lord Brahma and explained everything, and he told all the demigods they should appear there in Navadvip to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. And then Narada goes to Shvetadvip. I mean, such an interesting story in the Sutra Kanda. He goes to Shvetadvip, where he sees the pastimes of Balaram, and he informs Balaram. Balaram comes, of course, as Lord Nityananda. Lord Shiva comes as Advaita Prabhu. That's actually an interesting philosophical point, because generally we're considering Advaita Prabhu to be Vishnu Tattva. So I asked this question of one of our great scholars in the Krishna conscious movement, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. You know, then he's considered actually Sadashiva. Sadashiva. So how is it he's considered Vishnu Tattva at the same time? So the explanation, and Gopi is quite expert, he was our greatest scholar, I mean now he's passed away. The explanation given was that the original form of Vishnu from whom the Lord Shiva expands within this material world is in the spiritual world, and he's called Sadashiva. So that's a good explanation. Of course, the word Shiva is a name of Krishna. And many of the names of the demigods are actually names of Krishna, although in the particular context, they're actually names of demigods or names of the position of the demigods, like Indra. Is actually means the greatest, you know, so Brahma, you know, Krishna. These are all taken in certain contexts to mean different things. So ultimately, the names indicate Krishna. Many of the demigods, I'm not saying all the demigods. So this is how Gopi explained it to me. It was a very wonderful explanation. So then, all these things, Shiva comes as Advaita Prabhu, and then the other personalities are described like Murari Gupta Mukunda, Srivas, Ramananda Roy, Ishwar Puri, and Madhavendra Puri. Also, they're coming from the spiritual world to take part in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or to be there before the pastimes, to prepare for the pastimes. Like you have Madhavendra Puri, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never, let's say, externally met in that lifetime. Madhavendra Puri, did he? No, Nityananda did. Lord Nityananda actually took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And then Ishwara Puri, he became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this whole dramatic performance, because the Lord's pastimes are actually Leela. They're dramatic performance. So whenever you have a Leela, or a drama on stage, you have to arrange for a narrator, you have to arrange for introductions, and all these things like that. So the Lord's pastimes are something like that. It's really interesting. The Lord doesn't do things. He just doesn't pop up, you know, all of a sudden. His associates come with him, his whole entourage, and even some of the demigods who happen to be more advanced come with him, or expansions of the demigods appear. So everything is arranged. The scene is set. Just like if you go to see some play on Broadway, they spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks or months or years rehearsing, and the set designs or everything. And they may spend millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars on set designs in Broadway. So everything is prepared before the opening night. And even in the opening night, there's all sorts of arrangements, introductions, the lighting is perfectly done. I don't know if anyone studied theater. I did when I was in the university. So even the person in the lighting booth has to prepare for weeks or months when to pull this light up or that light down. It's quite a complex thing, and of course the sound. So in the same way, the Lord's pastimes are arranged in a very complex fashion before the Lord appears. So anyway, then we go to the Adi Leela. I don't know if we're going to be able to describe the whole thing. And then you have the description of the Lord's appearance, and of course then you have the Dvaitacharya worshiping Sachi Devi, you know, circumambulating her, and offers obeisances, and she doesn't understand what's going on. You know, offers obeisances to her as being pregnant, and then they thought it was quite unusual behavior, and even describes he worships the womb of Sachi Mata. And let's see, some other unusual pastimes, and definitely all the samskaras, the grain giving ceremony, childhood pastimes, the pranks, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enabled a dog to go back to home, back to Godhead. The Sachi Mata, of course, didn't want the dog in the house because the dog is considered muchi, and then the dog actually went back to home, back to Godhead. And then he describes when Lord Chaitanya grew a little older. This is all before Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Yuga Avatar. So how Lord Chaitanya would tease Murari Gupta when Murari Gupta was explaining the Yoga Sutras, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just make fun of him, and then he went to Murari Gupta's home and urinated on Murari Gupta's prasadam. And so, you know, he had a very humorous relationship with Murari Gupta. Mm-hmm. Then the sacred thread ceremony is described, the passing away of Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, and Lord Chaitanya consoling his mother. And then the first marriage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And let's see what else about the marriage. And then of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Bengal, especially East Bengal, his wife passed away due to the snake bite of separation. The separation actually assumed a form of a snake and bit her. So that was her separation. And so then there was a second marriage. I mean, this is a very quick description of the pastimes. It's all available in this book here. So, let's see. Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya and performed the puja. There he met the puja for the disappearance of his father. You know, that's the pinda, it's called. There's the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Vishnu in Gaya. That's also where Lord Buddha appeared, in Gaya. And that's in the Bihar province, the state of Bihar. So, let's see, what else happened? So Lord Chaitanya then had his pastimes as a teacher, and then eventually he gave up being a teacher, and he just manifested himself after he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. He manifested himself as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then all these different wonderful pastimes that Lord Chaitanya took part in during the Sankirtan performances, like sowing a mango seed and having a whole mango tree grow out of season and produce fruits. all year round. And there's another, very interesting pastime. When a Brahmin criticized the deities, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately jumped in the Ganges with his clothes on to purify himself. So many, many different pastimes you don't really hear about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or even in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very intimate pastimes. And then interactions with the Dvaitacharya. Let's see. What else here? I mean, I could read this, but it's the story, of course, the story of Jagai and Madai, how Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur were joking with each other as they were running away from Jagai and Madai and saving people from leprosy. Then Lord Chaitanya manifests as Varaha in Sridhar Mayapur, and Lord Chaitanya preaches about Sankirtan, and so many of these pastimes here. And then, actually the most touching part, and I wanted to mention that at length, was that you don't find described anywhere else, are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas and interacting with his wife, Vishnupriya. Of course, Vishnupriya was 16 years old. You know, very, very young girl. So Lord Chaitanya exhibited his eagerness to take sannyas. The reason, there's an internal and external reason he was taking sannyas. And, of course, the external reason was that he wasn't being properly respected. And it was important that people respect him in order not to go to hell, and also in order to take his teachings very seriously. So in that culture, sannyas is very much respected. In America, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, you can go to the university and say, I'm a sannyasi, and they'll say, so what? But as far as, you know, call me Maharaj. Actually, Maharaj originally was not a title for sannyasis. It was a title for kings. Sannyasis were called Goswamis or Swamis, like that. But the king, Maharaj means, oh, great, passionate one. Just the direct translation. Raj means passion, big passion. So anyway, but it's taken nowadays, you know, for preaching. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instituted our method of taking sannyas for preaching rather than the Babaji method. So anyway, getting back to the point. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eager to, of course, the esoteric reason he wanted to take sannyas was because of the mood of separation between, it was a manifestation of his mood of separation from Krishna and the mood of Srimati Radharani. So anyway, so Vishnupriya, there's a little discussion here that Lochandas Thakur talks about, says, Vishnupriya says, tell me, O Prananath, means the Lord of my life. I'll do whatever you say. Will you take sannyas? I have heard this rumor being circulated amongst the people in general. Hearing this, my heart is broken. If it's true, I shall enter into the fire. You are the treasure of my life. Your beautiful form is always ever fresh and ever youthful. Will you give up everything and go away? If I'm deprived of your association, I might as well give up my life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to her, listen, you who are as dear to me as life itself, don't be in any anxiety. There's no need to worry at all. What I'm about to say is for your benefit. Please hear me attentively with your whole mind. Whatever you see in this world is all false. The only truth is Brahma, as Bhagavan and the Vaishnavas. Without that, whatever you see is all illusion. Know this for a fact. Sons, wives, husbands, ladies, fathers, mothers, everything else, all these relationships are illusory. They are temporary and transitional. In this lifetime, we have one set of sons, wives, husbands, mothers, and fathers. In our next life, this changes. Other than the lotus feet of Krishna, we have no real family. Everything else that we see as our family is an illusion of Maya. What we see as man and woman is unreal. So he preaches to Krishna, to Vishnupriya, this basic philosophy. Even says the soul is embedded in the mixture of semen and blood from which is born into a body composed of stool and urine. So this gets pretty pretty basic here, you know, scatological, as we say. And then he preaches the philosophy, basically the philosophy that all of you hear. But then he reveals to her his forearm form and makes her understand his absolute position. At that time he says, you see before you the Supreme Lord, cast your illusion aside. At this, Vishnupreya became joyful and her grief and pain vanished and her heart became blissful upon seeing the Lord's forearm form. And then she still begs for his association, keeps weeping. At that time, Lord Chaitanya assures her, listen, O Vishnupriya, give close attention to my words. I shall go and always be with you wherever I go, and I shall still remain at your place. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya always remains unmanifest, of course, but always remain there. Like Krishna always remains in Vrindavan. It's just that we can't see, but Vishnupriya is the Lord's eternal consort. Obviously, she can perceive the presence of the Lord. This truth I have spoken with great determination. Of course, she had the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that she worshipped, and she would take one grain of rice, some people say for each round, other people say for each Hare Krishna mantra, but whatever it is, whatever is very little. So then she said to him, you must do whatever makes you happy. No one should be an obstacle to your divine mission. And then it's described, she then looked away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this was very, very painful. So this conversation was reported by Lochan Das Thakur. It's a very touching conversation, and I advise your devotees to read that conversation. So just to finish up this discussion, I wanted to read the poem of Lochan Das Thakur, which Prabhupada loved. I mean, Prabhupada chanted this poem quite often. Parama karana pahujvijanam nitai gora chan sabhavata sharashiramani kevalananda kan vajabhajabhai chaitanya nitai sudrida vishvashra kori vishaya charya se rasa majiya mukha bolo hari hari deka oro bhai tribhuvane nai emona doyaya daola data apashu paki jure pashane vidore shuni yara guna gata samsara majiya rahila paria se pare nahila vasha apana koroma bhujanaye samana Ho ho ye Lochana Dasa. So this is Prabhupada's translation. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan declares that the two lords, Nitai Gora Chandra, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that by prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful, for they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations, like Lord Ram and even Krishna, taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya introduced the process which is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm faith and conviction. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and determination. But what is the process? If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement and sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hari Hari without any motive of sense gratification. Lochan Das says, my dear brother, just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great, they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join, even the animals can join, what to speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant, but if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt the path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will melt. It is so nice that even the stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in sense gratification process and you have no attraction for chanting. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. So he passed away in the year Shakabda 1540. Okay. So all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Lochan Das Thakur Ki Jai.